I'm going to read from Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 3. So Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 3. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body before and to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. And just two further verses, verses 16 and 22. Verse 16. The disciples left, went in the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Amen.
Well, a very good morning to you. Great seeing you all here at Baxter Baptist Church this morning. If you are a regular, I hope that you feel at home. If you're visiting with us or becoming a regular visitor, really great to see you. If you're a visitor and you haven't made yourselves yet known to us, please come and say hello to me after the service or to my wife Isabel. There are visitors cards in the pews. If you'd like to fill one of them in and leave us your details, don't worry. It's not for tax purposes, but it is just to keep you up to date with things happening here at the church, and your information is kept safe and only with us. So if you'd be so kind as to share some information of yourselves with us, we'd love to stay in touch with you. For some of us, you may also be thinking about a journey into membership. Some folks have been visiting for quite some time now, and I'd like to respectfully ask that you may prayerfully consider becoming a member. And I'd be delighted to meet with you and think about all that that requires. God is doing a great thing in this church. Can you say amen to that? And God is doing a new thing. You know, for some time there was a banner up there, I'd like to reinstate it, that says God is doing a new thing. And God is doing a new thing. And this morning's sermon is all about God doing a new thing. We thought about new things a little bit last week as well. And we said sometimes new things can be a little bit complicated, can't they be? You know, sometimes somebody gets a new car and the controls and that aren't quite in the same place. You know, the lever for the indicator, depending whether it's a German or a Japanese model, might be on the other side. Or you might find your petrol tank on the other side when you go to the petrol station to fill up. So new things take a bit of adjustment. But God does not change. But we're living in a changing world. We are geared to Jesus, our rock. And we are keeping up to speed with Him. So this morning, we are still in our month of mission and prayer. And being Communion Sunday this morning, we thought rather than have a mission or a ministry report back to you, we thought of making the mission personal. So it's all about us this morning. Isn't that great? Like a little family gathering. And so far we've looked at the Lord's Prayer. Last week we looked at, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." That footnote found there and in chapter 13 of Mark 6. The first week we've asked God to search us. Then we asked God to put feet to our prayers. We asked God to send us. Now a little warning. I have to warn you, this morning by far is going to be the most difficult sermon in the whole sermon season so far. And I think, great, I knew I should have spent the morning in bed. Why did I bother coming out this morning? I could have gone down to Costa's. They're giving away a free bacon bap with a cup of coffee this morning. Wouldn't that have been... I'm not promoting Costa's, by the way. Just edit that out of the podcast. But you can pay for your cupcake after the service in the Cara Center. Some of us may not want to pray this prayer. You don't have to pray this prayer to be a Christian. But it's not advanced Christianity either, what I'm going to be preaching to you about this morning. It's actually basic Christianity. It's not a common prayer. It's not consistent with the theology of modern times that Jesus is our ultimate feel-good person. Jesus is good. He does make us feel good. But Christianity is not all about feeling good. It's not all about everything's going to work out okay in the end. In the end, we know everything is going to work out okay. And we know that the best is yet to come. And we know that Jesus has already won. And the victory's there. But along the way, we may go through some stuff. And God may want us to go through some stuff. When God brings change, it's not the change that does people in. It's the transition. It's like the guy who got married. The change to married life was great, from single to being married. But he didn't transition correctly. He still wanted to spend every night out in the pub with his mates. Guess what? He didn't have a happy wife. It was the transition. And often when there's change in our lives, it's not the change that does us in. It's the transition that does us in. The path that God has for us. This prayer, though, has the potential to open your heart. This prayer has the potential to bring the most glorious results from God into our lives. And the prayer is simply this: God, break me so that I may be whole. God, break me so that I may be whole. And it fits in very well with the communion and with the songs already sung this morning. We all want to draw closer to the Lord. We all want to get rid of the junk that's in our lives. Sometimes people tell me hilarious stories of trying to clear out the junk at home. It's not so hilarious when you're busy doing it, isn't it? I remember when we moved here, it was a good time to get rid of some junk. I tend to be a bit of a sentimental person when it comes to, you know, things that my girls had. Maybe their first bib, which they vomited all over. I'd like to keep that as a memory. But it was time to clear out junk. Last week we received the awesome prophecy here about shaking off the dust. But the idea of brokenness is an idea where God strips us down to nothing. Now, we don't like this kind of theology, do we? Do I believe that God wants to bless us? Yes. Do I believe that God wants to increase us? Yes. Do I believe that we're the head and not the tail? Absolutely. Do I believe that God has built his house in us not to move away? Absolutely. Do I believe that God has lifted us up not to let us down? Absolutely, 100%. Do I believe that God strips us down to nothing sometimes? 100%. Great. So no one's left yet. And if you're listening to the podcast, don't switch off either. Sometimes God strips us down to nothing because of sin in our lives. But sometimes he strips us down to nothing just because he loves us. Isn't that amazing? He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And there's that scripture which can sometimes be seen as a bit of a strange scripture. It says God disciplines those he loves. Wow. I remember once sharing that with a person, and the person said, well, then God must love me an awful lot. Because he felt he was going through a lot of discipline at that time. Last week we looked at that it's not always about the double blessing, although God does bring a double blessing in our lives. When we go through hardships and tough times, it's not about getting through the tough time as quickly as possible. It's about God being God in our lives. And may I humbly submit to you this morning that without the trials of life, we can never become everything that God wants us to become. Now, I know that is so opposed. It's the polar opposite to some popular theology today where God loves you, and because God loves you, it's like the 60s flower power. You know, everything's going to be okay. And you can do anything because God loves you. We don't see that theology in the Bible. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Does he love us unconditionally? Yes. Is life and Christian life, the blessings of it and the progression of it, also based on our obedience to him? Yes. We are a blessed people. And I humbly submit to you this morning that there's a stark contrast between what I would call consumer Christianity and real Christianity. Consumer Christianity. Let me hear the worship songs I want to sing. It's all about me, Jesus. Do things my way, Lord. It's not about you, Jesus. It's about me. That's consumer Christianity. Real Christianity is glorious. It's for the kingdom, the power and the glory. It brings the kingdom into this world. It brings the power of God. Because we can't live it without Christ. I can't live 1 millisecond of the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. That's why after Jesus rose from the dead, when he met with his disciples, what did he do? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus knew his disciples needed the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we noticed a little plaque on the school building the other day, which said, "In honor to the Trinitarian Triune God." So my kids asked me, "What's the Trinitarian God?" Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, friends, I can guarantee one thing in our Christian faith, and that is that God will break us in order to make us whole. Jesus was broken on the cross. He was broken and poured out. And that's what the message is about this morning. God breaks us. He pours us out. He broke himself so that he can pour himself into our lives. And we've all been through broken experiences, and I'm not going to bore you with my broken experiences in life. I remember one day receiving a prophetic message from a bona fide prophet. I've received a number of prophetic messages in my life from real prophets. And they've all been great. They've all been about keys of the kingdom and God doing this and God doing that. And they've all been great. And this one was about that. God's going to give you the keys to the kingdom. This was before we were living in the UK. You know, you're going to have a ministry. He's overseas, the whole thing. And then he said something that made me shudder. And he said, "And God says you're going to die 1,000 deaths. Well, believe me, if there was a hotline to phone and complain against a prophet, I would have phoned that hotline straight away. If I could have got him struck off the prophet's list, if there's such a thing, you know, I would have got him. I was enraged. Absolutely. I said, "Lord, haven't you taken me through enough? Haven't I learnt the tests over and over? How much of me do you want to die?" And the Lord said, "Like all of it, don't you get it? You know, you'll die until you're dead." And I was enraged. So I got hold of my pastor colleague who was ministering that Sunday morning with me, and he said, "Did you hear the word?" He said, "Yeah, it's great. If I was you, I'd just take it and run with it." I said, "How can I take and run with dying 1,000 deaths? I don't want to die anything more. I've died enough. I want to get on with living now. I'm a young guy. I wasn't even 30 years old at the time and had already been through enough. I'd lost everything and then lost it again." I said, "Lord, I've done it. Double dip, whatever, death. Double dip, death. That'll make a good sermon. D. Don't go into the water. Anyway, moving on." And my colleague said to me, "What's the problem? You should be rejoicing." The apostle Paul said, "Count it all joy when you go through trials and affliction." And I'm saying, "Actually, I want you to feel sorry for me. I'm wanting you to tell me that it was a dud prophecy." And I know what it's like. Sometimes you hear a word from the pastor, and it's not a comfortable word. So you want to get the pastor struck off. I've done it. I want to get the prophet struck off. I thought, he's not a real man of God. How can he say that to me? Of course he's a real man of God. I've died 1,000 deaths so that I can be whole. So that the flesh can die and the Spirit of God can live. So he moved over to the UK at the end of this month. It'll be 15 years ago. Can you believe it? You need to have some kind of celebration. You've survived 15 years. It'll be 15 years of marriage then in September. Wow. See, we came over on honeymoon and stayed. Not. Came over with a call. And we planted churches. And it was great. And it was glorious. But we learned to die to self. And you know, when you step out in faith and you ask the Lord, or the Lord asks you to do something and you die to self, you kind of say to the Lord, Lord, okay, I've done this all right now. How about you making it a little bit easy for me? I'm just being honest. I said that to the Lord. You think I'm unspiritual? I'm sure you said that to the Lord. Okay, Lord, I stepped out in faith, now make it easy. Lord, we've said goodbye to mums and dads and brothers and friends and family and cousins and worldly possessions. We've left it behind to follow you. Lord, haven't we done enough? So we're planting a church. And we get great news that Isabel's pregnant. She has a miscarriage. We think, Lord, we're trying to bring life into Wimbledon for you. We're experiencing death. And God breaks through in glorious ways and gives us the strength to continue. Then we move to Brighton to plant a church. And Isabel's pregnant again. And the pregnancy is going well. And we go for the scan. And there's no heartbeat. And I can remember, it was a terrible moment for both of us. We've said, Lord, we've given it up for you. Just one little baby, that's all we ask for. Lord, we're new in Brighton. We're planting a church. We've just opened the doors to our home for people to come in. No heartbeat. And I said, no, it must be wrong. I said, scan again, but scan again after I've prayed. And we prayed. They scanned again. Still no heartbeat. And it was quite traumatic because Isabel almost lost her life because of the loss of blood. I remember lying all night, sitting next to her at A&E. And the first person wouldn't believe her, despite all the blood. And an Australian nurse came in and said, took her blood pressure and said, you're going to have to have a blood transfusion. You're going to die if we don't do this. But she made it through. She didn't have to have the blood transfusion. Death experiences. But you know, God breaks us to make us whole. He breaks us to make us whole. And we find two incredible stories side by side in Mark 14. Verse 3. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar, very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Can you imagine it? I mean, it sounds like a joke. Here's Jesus, a rabbi, hanging out with a leper and a prostitute. Hello. Jesus breaks our concept of who we should be hanging out with. Now, obviously, the leper had been healed. That's what scholars think. Because Jesus wouldn't be at home with a leper, with his disciples, with people coming in if a person still has leprosy. Because it's highly contagious in those days. So that leper had been broken, and the scholarly thought behind it was that he was now called Simon the leper. And he kept the name to differentiate him from the other Simons and also to show the work of God's work in his life. That he had been broken, but yet now God's healing had been poured out. You with me so far this morning? Now think of it. There's a prostitute. For the sake of this biblical text, I encourage us to try to get into the mind of what it would have been like for this woman to have been a prostitute back in those times. She was a nobody. No one in the first century wanted to be a prostitute. On career day at school, this is not the thing she wanted to be. In fact, if you were a prostitute, it was because life had dealt you the cards that you felt you had no other way of playing other than this desperate plea. She would have been hated, she would have been used, she would have been abused, and she would have been full of shame. We don't know what led this woman to lead this kind of life. Maybe she was a single mum struggling to pay the bills. Maybe she'd been abused so many times that all she knew was a life of abuse and a life of shame. And one day she met a man called Jesus who treated her differently. Who treated her not as a prostitute, but treated her as a woman with dignity and respect and loved her in an appropriate way. He loved her. Appropriately. And love is such a cheap thing in today's world. Sex is such a cheap thing. I know you don't hear the word sex very often from the pulpit, but I make no apologies. You know, sex has become such a cheap commodity. If you'll love me, you'll sleep with me. But God has the most perfect plan for sexual relationships. A sexual relationship within marriage, which shows off His glorious kingdom. Which shows a beautiful unity between a man and a woman. Wow. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. Imagine we put up a big sign on Sunday. We're talking about sex on Sunday. I wonder how full the church will be. But Jesus loved her. Not with eros love, sexual love. That's the point. He loved her with agape love. He sought her highest good above His. He didn't love her because of His need. He loved her to restore her and to redeem her. Wow. And she comes and in the most extravagant act of worship pours out this perfume. Can you imagine it? There's Simon the leper. There's this prostitute pouring perfume on the head of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine it? Expensive perfume. The other gospels tell us that it was worth a year's wage. Interestingly, made of pure nard. Did you see that there? What does that mean? The nard from which this perfume was made is a plant that comes from the East Indies. It has a small, slender stalk and a heavy, thick root. The best and most expensive perfume came from the root. When Jesus breaks us, He gets to the root. When she broke the perfume, she was breaking this perfume that came from the root, and she was breaking the root of sin and shame over her life. And she was pouring her life out in the most extravagant form of worship. This perfume would have been an investment into her prostitute business. It would have been her calling card. So what did she do? She broke it. What did she do then? She poured it. She broke and she poured. She broke and she poured. Isn't this similar to what Jesus did for us? He broke His body on the cross. And He poured out His blood for us. Broken and poured. Broken and poured. I wonder what we would have done if we had been there. What we would have said. Oh, why don't you sell the perfume and split the difference? It's worth the year's wages. I'm sure the Lord won't mind if you just, you know, pour one little drop on him. It's the thought that counts after all. She gave it all. It represented her past. And it represented her future. Her past. She used that perfume as a calling card. Now she used it. She got to the root of where she was in life. And she used it as the most extravagant form of worship. And then she gives her future to Jesus. Jesus, I don't need this perfume. Jesus, I don't need this prostitution. I'm giving it up. Come into my life. I'm giving it all. She could have said, well, let's sell the perfume and give the money to the poor. Sounds very noble. But Jesus deserved it. And she needed to be broken and poured. The next story is right there in the same chapter. I don't think it's coincidence that these two stories run into each other. While they were eating, this is the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke. Wow. The prostitute broke the alabaster jar. Not one little drop, not two little drops, everything. Got to the root. I'd encourage you, let's not give one little drop to Jesus or two little drops. Jesus is all or nothing. All or nothing. The prostitute gave all the perfume. Jesus gave all. Every last drop of his blood to water came running out. He gave it all. What did Jesus do? He broke and then he poured. He broke and then he poured. If we go to the next slide, please. Look at verse 24 of Mark 14. This is my blood of the new covenant which is poured out for many, he said to them. Now we're going to go to a different gospel, the gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the synoptic gospels. I know you know that. Luke 22:19. And he took, that's Jesus, bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we read that together? Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So what did Jesus do? He broke and he poured. Maybe we could say that. He broke and he poured. What did the prostitute do? She broke and she poured. What does God ask us to do? To break and to pour. It's difficult to say. This is God's amazing mystery. He breaks us to make us whole. Die a thousand deaths. Wow, I really wanted a man of God to say that to me. Somebody once asked me, so what's church planting like? I said, in the most positive, glorious way, it will ruin the rest of your life. Because you are broken. And the only thing you live for is seeing Jesus broken and poured into other people's lives. That's what I live for as a pastor. I don't live for church meetings. I don't live for voting. I live to see Jesus broken and poured into people's lives. Look at that. Luke says, do this in remembrance of me. Now we know, and all scholars will agree, all biblical scholars will agree, biblical scholars, that refers to the communion table. Jesus' body was broken and poured. However, there is a theme of theological thought amongst theological scholars, and I am of the same thought, and I put it to you this morning. Now we're going to dig deeper, thinking of the alabaster jar that everything was broken and poured. thinking of Jesus, that his body was broken, whipped to beyond recognition. He poured out all his blood till water flowed. Do this in remembrance of me. There's significant scholarly thought that this do this in remembrance of me takes communion beyond the ritual. Takes communion beyond what we do here on a Sunday or in your life group, or sometimes we do communion Friday night at home or whatever you want to do. It's great. Have it before a meal with your family. It's amazing. Might be a bit messy, but that's okay. There's theological thought that this do this in remembrance of me means that it goes beyond the ritual of a Sunday or wherever we have communion, and it makes it personal in our lives. And it's saying this, Lord, in remembrance of you, break me and pour me. Wow. Folks, two stories. The one of the prostitute, in which Jesus said, that story will be told everywhere the gospel is preached. Isn't that amazing? Your story, your testimony, is told and can be told everywhere you preach the gospel. Because it's the story of Jesus getting to the root of our lives and breaking us and pouring us out, so that his broken body and his pouring in of his blood and his Holy Spirit can come into us. We've got to conclude this morning. Also, amen to the conclusion. You know, Paul, let's take this even further. In Philippians 2 verse 17 said, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. You know, I don't know if you've ever prayed the prayer. I've prayed it, Lord, use me. You prayed the prayer? And then afterwards you feel used. And Paul was saying he was poured out like a sacrifice, like a drink offering on the faith of others. And that's what happens in the ministry. It's a wonderful mystery. We pour our lives out on the faith of other people. Is it challenging? Is it demanding? Is it dying a thousand deaths? Yes, but Paul said he does it with gladness and with joy. So in conclusion this morning, I'd like to say that we connect with people in our brokenness. We may impress people with our strengths. If I came here this morning sporting some great big muscles from the gym, we might impress people with our strengths. But we connect with people in our weaknesses. There is a psychologist called Dr. Henry Cloud, who I first came across several years ago when I attended the Global Leadership Summit. And incidentally, our leadership team here at this church this year, the vast majority of us are attending the Global Leadership Summit. And Dr. Henry Cloud, most years, is a speaker at the Global Leadership Summit. And he's a brilliant author, he's a consultant, and he is a world leadership genius of a psychologist. And he says this, I'm really convinced that God made the tear ducts in the eyes for a reason. Let's think about it. Almost, it's in a funny kind of a way, it would almost seem most logical for tears to come out the nose. Because the nose runs. But the eyes. Have you noticed? The eyes, when we're broken, and there are tears there. I can't prove this, but I just think that perhaps God designed the tears to come out of our eyes because you were designed by God to have someone looking at you eyeball to eyeball when you are hurting. And that's what Jesus does. When we're hurting, he looks us eyeball to eyeball, and he allows us to be broken so that he can pour in his love. And as Christians, when others are hurting and they're crying, you look them in the eye, eyeball to eyeball. Remember, we connect with each other in our brokenness. In conclusion, this is the life-changing prayer. Lord, break me so that I can be whole. Lord, break me so that I can be whole. We don't want to be broken. And maybe I've got, I know that some of you this morning could probably preach a better sermon on this than me right now, because you yourself are broken this morning. But we can come to Jesus and allow His brokenness to be poured into us so that we may be whole. You see, the sinful woman broke open the jar. She poured it all, symbolizing, Lord, I'm giving you my whole life. When Jesus was broken, He was broken for you and for me. He poured out His blood so that we can be whole. Lord, break me so that I can be whole. My conclusion this morning is going to be a song. Now, I'm not going to sing it to you. But I'm going to invite Toby and the team up. And if we could get the words of the song up. The song is entitled Come to the River, and I want to invite you this morning to come to the river. Jesus is the river. Come to the water, all who are thirsty. Come and drink. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come and feast. I will taste and see that you are good. I will taste and see that you are good. Come this morning and give Jesus everything in your past. Come this morning, allow Him to be Lord of everything in your future. Before we do that, could every eye just be closed, please, and head bowed. I'd like to give you the opportunity, if you've slipped away from the Lord or you've never come to Him, Jesus gives abundant life. He washes away our sin. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer that says, Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Friends, this isn't to make you religious. This is about being a friend of God. This isn't about church membership. This is about being a friend of God. If you want to pray that prayer this morning, Dear Jesus, come into my life, I'm going to invite you to pray it with me now. I'm going to say it, and you can repeat it. Why don't the whole church, all of us that have done that before, we'll support you. We'll pray it out loud with you. Let's just say, dear Jesus, forgive me a sinner. Forgive me a sinner. Please come into my life. Please come into my life. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Rose again from the dead. Please come into my life. Make me a child of God. I want to be a Christian. Thank you for this new life. Now let's just pause there. Keep your eyes closed, please, if you don't mind, and heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I've got a little booklet to give to you, and I'd like to keep you in prayer during this week. While no one's looking around, would you just be brave and raise your hand? It's a sign of just saying, yes, that's me. I came back to Jesus, or I gave my life to Him for the first time. Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Wow, the Lord's working here. Just say, that's me. That's me. Lord, thank you for every hand that went up, but also every person who prayed the prayer and every heart open to you. Sign and seal every person in the power of your Spirit. Amen. We're going to conclude the service slightly differently this morning. We spoke about change, so I did warn you, didn't I? River's been quite a theme in this church for a very long time, for many years. We're going to sing this song. What I'm going to invite you to do, the service will be dismissed. I'm going to give the benediction, the final blessing. may go off to the carer centre, buy the cupcakes, drink the teas and the coffees. Are we all going to get to do that? You can do that right now if you want to, after the blessing. Or before you do that, you may just want to come to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm broken. Can you pour yourself into me, please? Or Lord, I need to be broken. Something, a sin or a attitude or something needs to be broken in me. And I need to pour that out so that you can pour yourself in. Or you may just need to die to self. It's okay. So that Jesus can live in you. That's even better. So in a moment, I'm going to give the benediction. Please make your way to the carer center. Those who feel you just want to come and die to self, or be poured out, or ask Jesus to pour himself into you, whatever it might be, a brokenness and a pouring, however that works for you, I'm going to invite you just to come and sit, just in the first few rows over here. So we'll vacate them in a moment. The first few rows, even on the carpet, you can come and kneel. Just keep just this little section over here while the rest of us go off to the carer center. And just sit and be with the Lord and receive ministry from the song that's played. That's not for everyone, I understand that, but it's for some. And for the some that is for, I just want to give you that opportunity to come and sit. Be ministered to in song. And just be broken and poured out, however that pans out for you. Now let me say a blessing over you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord pour out his blessings upon your life. And the Lord be good to you and pour out his peace. In Jesus' name.